giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
Is pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night again. It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. You are tuned in. It is April 1st. It is April Fool's Day. You will get none of that bullshit here. We are just straight talking, facts spewing, hard-nosed, truth-telling sons of bitches. And you're tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box. That's right. It's movie time. It is Movie Monday. I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
I'm Slick Doggy the Grip.
And we got some stuff to tell you about. It is apparently on Twitch. It is user Rai Cerrone's birthday. Happy birthday, Rai underscore Cerrone. And if you guys are followers on Twitch, you get access to that Twitch pre-show, which is the about a half hour before the show starts, and we were talking about all kinds of stuff in the show there earlier. But tonight we're going to be talking about Godzilla X Kong.
Is it X or is it Cross?
I don't know.
Because like in all the Japanese fighting games, when there's the X, it's Cross.
I just thought it was just because it's not versus. It's
no,
just Godzilla X Kong, Cross Kong. And Kong, Godzilla Kong, Kongzilla. I don't know. We saw it. We're going to talk about it.
Yep.
I also watched the Dave Attell special on Netflix because I thought he was dead, and turns out he is not dead.
No,
he's just old. And you remember that show he used to do? It was called like Late Night with Dave Attell or whatever.
Yeah. And he'd just go around the street and talk to people and make jokes. And
it was a great show.
It was really funny.
It was a great show. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about that special. I also caught up with all of the current episodes. Insomniac with Dave Attell. That's right. I thought it was like Late Night. Insomniac. Such a good show. I also caught up with all of the episodes of Shogun, which you do need to watch. You need to watch it. There are some things that I noticed.
Fictitious Japan,
though. No. But do you know Hiroyuki Sanada is the executive producer, and he is on, like, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff. He's like, that dude not only is a star, but he's one of the producers. He's like, nope, we're doing it this way. Nope, we're doing it this way. Nope, we're doing it this way. And he's like, this is the first time that I've ever really been able to be in creative control of this production. And, like, that's what, I watched that featurette, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give the show a shot.
Hiroyuki Sanada is a cool dude.
Hiroyuki Sanada is a cool dude, and he apparently is, like,
he's
the driving force behind the show.
Well, that's cool. He's played Toyotomi Hideyoshi before, and he's playing this Shogun as Toyotomi, but not.
Right.
I read that, and I read interviews with him, and I was like, but then, I don't know. There's still parts of it where I'm like,
there are some parts where I'm like, ooh, yeah, but overall, I have really enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to more episodes.
I can't have the suspension of disbelief when it's trying to portray real Japan, but it's fake Japan.
Well, it's also based off of a novel, you know. I mean, did you watch the old, like, the original Shogun miniseries? I mean, it ain't a masterpiece either.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. So
I still haven't watched that damn Turtles movie, Vince.
Oh, you should. It's good. It's good. But anyway, thumbs up from me on Shogun. So I'm not going to go deep dive into it, but I have been watching it and I do recommend it. Yeah. And Vince, I think, is over on Twitch. He's watched it. He's digging it. A lot of our people out there watching on all your social medias. If you're not a subscriber. You can make sure you like and subscribe wherever it is you like to, Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. We do this live every week. We like Twitch. It's got some really cool chat tools and really cool rewards. And also, if you subscribe, we get money a lot faster than through YouTube and Facebook. So get on that. All right, it's news. It's April Fool's Day. A lot of stupid stuff getting announced. I'm not going to report on any of it because I don't think it's very funny. 2024 has already been hard enough. I don't need to have my pants pulled down with false information, you know, feeling like a dummy. But some other sad things happened. A couple of deaths happened this week, which was kind of a bummer. You know, maybe you'd seen him from Gen V, maybe you watched him from Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but Chance Perdomo, he died this week at age 27 in a motorcycle accident, which is really sad. He's a pretty talented young actor, what we like to call an up-and-comer on the show. He was pretty cool dude. I did watch a lot of the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and his character Ambrose was a good role. Mm-hmm. But also, at age 87, it's not 27, 87, Louis Gossett Jr. passed away this week as well. Oscar winner from Officer and a Gentleman, Roots, among lots of other.
I think he won an Emmy for Roots.
An Iron Eagle.
He was also in Jaws 3D.
He was in
the 3D. Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Oh my God, he was. Dude, yep. Louis Gossett Jr. had been around.
He did a voice in Captain Planet. He was in tons and tons of TV shows.
He was in all the TV shows, but one of those dudes that was never the lead role, always a very good supporting role. So, yeah, Vince over on Twitch, he says, according to the Drive-In Speaker Box lore of the show, you need to be at least 70 to be an up-and-comer. Louis Gossett Jr. is also, he's an up-and-comer.
Yeah, I mean, he had been doing TV and movies since the mid-50s. He was star on the rise.
He was on the rise. But sad stuff there. But other news has happened. What do you got on your piece of paper there, Jay?
Oh, man. Well, lots of new movie news here. We got a trailer for the new Bad Boys.
I kind of was hoping it was an April Fool's Day prank because the last Bad Boys, they could have just taken boys out of the name of it and just bad.
Yeah, but people went and watched it. We went and watched it in the theater together.
We did.
It's one of the movies we went to at the same time. But the trailer for the new one, you know, it's I guess they're out of ideas because now everyone's being framed. You know, the police chief dude is getting framed. Then they're getting framed for trying to rescue him.
For whatever reason, I thought that guy died in real life.
No, apparently not.
Like, so. the police chief guy, like, he was in Goonies and stuff.
Yeah, he was in Goonies, and he's like the detective in Daredevil.
Joe Pantoliano. I thought he died, and I guess he didn't die. But
not that I know of.
Who was it that died? That was in what? No, was it the other guy that was in Goonies? I don't know. Weird. I swear to God, when I saw that trailer, I was like, oh my God, he's back from the dead. And then Martin Lawrence said, oh my God, he's back from the dead in the trailer. And I'm like, yeah, I know, right? But turns out he's not dead actually at all.
You know what? Not to make light of it or anything, but Louis Gossett Jr. had 12 projects in the works, including a voice in If and a couple other ones. Some of them were in pre-production, so obviously he's getting replaced. But so things like that can happen. But no, new Bad Boys trailer. It looks okay, I guess, you know, but it's kind of an idea that's definitely been done many times before.
I mean that horse is like it is now turned into like oil and tree nutrients. There's like no, it's so dead you can't kick it.
We'll see how it goes, especially now that everyone knows that Mike Lowry isn't such a big hot shot anymore, which is sad for Will Smith, but at the same time, it hurts the legend of Mike Lowry.
As Vince on Twitch just pointed out, maybe he's just going around slapping people in Bad Boys, just pow, pow, pow.
You know, in the trailer,
keep your name out my. Yeah.
Yeah. In the trailer, Martin Lawrence is in a convenience store that's, you know, conveniently being robbed, of course, at the time that the police there are there, the undercovers, the detectives or whatever. And then Will Smith comes in and goes, do you want to deal with the guy with the gun to your head or deal with me? Come on, dude.
Pow!
Yeah. Yeah. Slap him in the mouth. But I mean, whatever, we'll probably end up watching it because that's the kind of thing we do. There was also the trailer for a movie you talked about in our pre-show a little bit, Unfrosted, the Jerry Seinfeld directing this movie, a comedic take
origin
on
of Pop-Tarts.
Kellogg's versus Post. And yeah, the,
what was
the origin
what was
of Pop-Tarts?
Post made Toast'em Pop-Ups. Was that what they were called? There was Pop-Tarts. And then I want to say it was Toast'em. Let me see. Let me pull up my.
I don't know, but like
Toast'em Pop-Ups.
There's at least 36 funny actors or whatever in the movie.
Toast'em Pop-Ups. Who made Toast'em Pop-Ups? It's the Schultz and Birch Biscuit Company, which is currently produces Toast'em Pop-Ups. Toast'em. They've been around for 60 years.
Well, how about it?
And the previous owners were Post Holdings. Yeah. Toast'em. See, the brain knows. Bo knows.
Yeah. But that movie looks not so bad. Very dumb, obviously. But
okay,
it's all just a joke.
Because I know the fans want to know. Because they know they want to know our thoughts on food more than our thoughts on movies. Because we're passionate about two things in this world. And it's eating and drinking, and then movies. Hmm. Favorite Toast'em pop-up flavor and favorite Pop-Tart flavor.
I have no idea what to say about Toast'em pop-up, so I'm gonna...
Well, it's obvious. It's cinnamon sugar with the frosting. That's the brown cinnamon sugar is the best Toast'em pop-up.
Oh, like, well, beer. Yeah, the brown sugar Pop-Tarts are really good.
Well, but nah, that's not my favorite. That's not my favorite Pop-Tart. Of the Pop-Tart world, what is your favorite?
I mean, strawberry's a classic, especially
frosted,
when they
unfrosted.
Take the unfrosted is
heated
the tip.
Or straight out the wrapper.
Right out the wrapper. I don't like heated Pop-Tarts, actually. I like regular Pop-Tarts.
Agreed. Straight out the wrapper or nothing. Why would you even heat
when
them?
When they're warm, you can taste some of the chemicals, and I don't want
that.
Yeah,
the plastic.
Yeah, I want the chemicals hidden by the it being room temperature.
So I will also agree, my favorite Pop-Tart is the unfrosted strawberry. It's the best. Coming in close second was...
Apple strudel's real badass.
I don't think I've ever had... No. I would say brown sugar cinnamon over apple strudel. But those, there was a period where
good.
Wildberry... Do you remember Wildberry?
They still make that one, man.
That one was pretty fire.
Yeah. Recently, I picked up the newest Pop-Tart flavor, banana bread.
Okay.
Not so bad.
So when you were a kid, did your world get turned completely upside down when Pillsbury toaster strudels became a thing? Like,
we ate a lot of toaster strudels.
Oh, and then the toaster strudel comments are just hitting right now. See, we didn't, because that was for rich people. And I remember I first got my box of toaster strudels because it took freezer space. You couldn't just put them in the cabinet.
Yeah, I mean, we were limited on
luxury. You get that little plastic pouch of icing and you put it near the
toaster.
There
was never enough icing.
Never
enough icing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, enough about that. We've covered
that
base.
Yeah. Unfrosted looks pretty good. Check out the trailer. I think it's a Netflix movie. Then there was the trailer for Kinds of Kindness after the success of
Poor Things.
Poor Things. Here's this movie hot on its heels, which you can stream Poor Things now.
You can.
It's streamable. You can watch it at home without additional costs. But yeah, the Kinds of Kindness trailer starring Emma Stone from the same director, Yorgos.
Last
yep.
name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I saw Willem Dafoe and stuff like that in the trailer. Some of the same people from Poor Things are in it.
Thanks for the sub, Merle.
I mean, it looks pretty cool. Emma Stone hot rodding in a Challenger or whatever is the majority of the trailer, but
which sounds fun.
Could be good, you know.
Did you also see the news this week? Jerry Bruckheimer, you know, Mr. Producer, speaking of Bad Boys and all that kind of stuff. Disney is wanting to move forward with the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, but they're saying the next Pirate Caribbean is going to be a total reboot with all new cast members.
Not going to work.
No, why on earth would it work?
I think the only reason that Pirates succeeded is because Johnny Depp. And if they take his character out of it, I don't think it works at all. And I mean, plus, how are you going to do better than Bill Nye as
Davy Jones?
Davy Jones. Like,
he
was like
the bad guys.
I'm going to bring the bad guys they casted to this movie.
Stellan Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård. It had such a good cast. I think Pirates of the Caribbean just needs to be sunk. You know, I'll go see it because I'm a sucker for pirates. And you make me a good pirate movie, I'm going to go see it. But I saw that news and I was like, hey, do we really need to do this?
I read a thing not that long ago about how Skarsgård, like everyone else on set, put on like the dots and like blue suits and all that. And he goes, I want practical effects on me. And they're like, are you sure? So he had to show
up like five hours early.
He was in the makeup chair for 4 to 6 hours every day. And everyone else would just get in their green screen suit with like some dots on their face. And he's sitting there, the only person on set with like barnacles and shit like all over his face doing like real acting.
That's badass.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And Bill Nye, if you ever see like the behind the scenes of that, where they're doing like the mocap for Davy Jones, and just the level of acting that Bill Nye brings to that movie next to everybody else, you're just like, wow, this guy's really good, and the rest of this movie sucks so bad.
It's so not worth his talent.
I know, but Davy Jones was cool. I never liked the Pirates movies. That was never like a thing.
But the characters were badass.
I was so jazzed about. I worked at the movie theater when these movies were coming out, right? And seeing the Davy Jones and Bill Nye behind that CG makeup, I was like,
so cool.
This is cool.
So cool.
Especially because he had like a beard that could grab things, and I was like, how cool would it
tentacle
be
tentacle beard.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. Pirates are cool no matter how you break it down.
Well, and talking movies for teens, Freaky Friday 2 is officially
happening. As well.
So they've been talking about it. It's a big go. Lindsay Lohan is going to be acting in a movie
with Jamie Lee Curtis,
next to Jamie Lee Curtis, and they're talking about it being a four-way split in this one. Not just mother-daughter, but now it's like another generation or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dog's getting involved in it. It's going to be like the Shaggy Dog combo. Ugh. I don't know. But that's
it will be.
That's going to be a thing.
It will be. You know it will be.
I like the stuff that Jamie Lee Curtis is doing now. Like,
I like how she just has jumped her own shark and is like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah, video game movie? What is it about? Space vaults or something? Mm-hmm. Fuck it. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, who cares? Freaky Friday 2? Let's go.
Let's do it. Paycheck. Yeah. Sign me up.
The internet's like, we want her to be Dr. Kuroha or whatever from One Piece. Like, look at it. Dr. Kuroha is Jamie Lee Curtis. And then she just tweets out. She's like, sign me up, dude. I'll do it. Where you at, Netflix? Give me dollars. And like,
She's got to be one of the coolest people to hang out with. Gotta love some Jamie Lee Curtis. She's always been an OG. All right. Well, you got any more news? Are we going with the new releases this week? It was a light news week.
The only thing is that it kind of ties into a movie review we got later, which is that despite the fact that Godzilla X Kong does not have any
post-credit scenes. Yeah.
And you're like, well, maybe the MonsterVerse is over, thank God. The director, Adam Wingard, in an interview with IGN, did say that he has ideas of where the MonsterVerse can go from here. He has ideas for Zilla and Kong. So there is always the potential for more,
if this movie was any indication of what those ideas were like, I'm sure they're paper thin and just involve monsters punching other monsters in the face. You know, like, what meetings?
To be fair, that's what we've all wanted. Everyone's like, why are we watching Aaron Taylor Johnson for 3 hours when we want to see Godzilla do the thing?
Yeah, I know.
And in this movie, they're like, oh, you want Godzilla breath?
Everywhere.
Yeah. Just,
and multiple Godzilla breaths from multiple. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Movie Albert coming in on Twitch with a comment saying Mad Max Fury Road is getting a theatrical re-release in the black and chrome edition. You know, of course, building up hype to the new Furiosa film, which is going to be coming out later this year. And, you know, it'll probably come to a theater near you. I'm guessing probably as a Fathom event, or you think that's going to be an
issue? Wide re-release. I don't know. I'm the only person I know that didn't like that movie, but that's because I think I'm the only person I know that
watched the originals.
Loves Mad Max. Like,
yeah.
I grew up with Mad Max. If Road Warrior was on TV, that was my Shawshank. Like, I stopped everything I'm doing, and I'm watching Road Warrior or Thunderdome.
Yeah, Thunderdome.
My world came to a stop. I watched Road Warrior and Thunderdome. Those were the tits.
I think my deal with all of the George Miller, like these Mad Max movies, George Miller has not done an incredible amount of, you know, movies. Like, he's made some, he's been a producer, he's been around for a really long time. You know, you go and you look at his directing credits. He's what, Babe, Mad Max, Happy Feet, and then all these trailers are coming at you with visionary genius mastermind George Miller bringing you the same repackaged shit that he's done for the past 30 years. Like, stop calling yourself a mad genius. Like, I don't know. Or at least stop letting these marketing people put that in your trailer. Like, you don't get to call yourself that. It's like picking your own, like, nickname. You can't do it. You're not allowed to do that. You don't call yourself a mad genius. You let the reviewers say that. And maybe put it around olive branches. But the more self-grandizing that this dude does in these trailers, the less that I want to ever see this movie. So, anyway. George Miller.
The Furiosa trailers just look like complete garbage to me, and I don't know why anyone would be.
Some of the CGI looks really bad, too.
Yeah, and the whole thing, man, I hated Fury Road. I honestly hated it. I watched it. I tried because everyone's like, oh, it's so cool. I'm like, have you ever seen Mad Max? And they're like, no, but this is rad. I'm like, go watch Mad Max. And they're like, Furiosa is so cool. I'm like, no, the old chicks on the motorcycles that get murdered in 5 seconds are really cool. They were the only good part of the movie. And they talk about how badass they are, invincible women of the desert that ride motorcycles. And you're like, yeah. And then they get murked. And you're like, this movie sucks. I mean, old Nicholas Holt's good or whatever. He's a good actor, but his character was dumb. I hate Fury Road. It's stupid. He's not real Mad Max. I don't accept it as real Mad Max.
It's not canon.
It doesn't make sense in any sort of timeline at all either, you know.
Well, I think that's what made the original movies kind of fun, is it made sense enough to where they didn't need to explain a lot of stuff, and some of the stuff wasn't so outlandishly ridiculous that it didn't need to make sense. Does that make sense? No, it didn't make any sense. It just, there was an over-the-topness that was grounded, where you could kind of wrap your brain around a lot of this stuff happening. But in Fury Road, it was just so much that it just kind of became a spectacle of itself, in my opinion. Mm. And then, you know, I would have never expected civilization to advance into that point in a nuclear holocaust situation.
Oh, yeah, with, like, fully functioning robot arms and stuff. It doesn't make sense. Vince said, can I go back to when I was excited about movie news and not stressed out? Same. Yeah. Hey, at least we're not having to talk about 20 different Marvel movies right now, you know?
That's true. That is true. At least
the momentum there is gone.
We're just going to talk about other franchises that won't die. So there you go. Do we have any other news? Any other news that you want to jump in?
No, that's all I got right now.
Well, moving on to the next segment that we always do on the show, which is tell you what comes out in theaters this week. It is another week. We got some people in the comments. We got Vindrassi from YouTube saying that they enjoyed Godzilla vs. Kong for the most part when they saw it Saturday. We're about to review it here in just a second. We got James over on Facebook saying they played the new Godzilla pinball at Texas Pinball Festival. It's fantastic. It is available for you to play at Pinpoint if you're in Northwest Arkansas.
We brand new Godzilla.
We have the Godzilla Premium at Pinpoint. Yeah, you can play it.
Like, you're borrowing it or you own
it?
No,
it's mine. Looks like you're,
does it play that music?
During multiplayer. You can actually pick what music you want. You can pick like the Mothra theme, the original 1954 Godzilla theme. You can be like, whoa, say he's got to go, 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 Godzilla.
Yeah, why would you not play Kansas? Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
the Toho song is so good.
Well, it looks like your boy's going to have to find his way up to Pinpoint soon.
And getting some shout-outs from Facebook, the Ruins of Adventure homies, you can follow them on social media as well. About to roll some dice. Cheers to you guys. Thanks for tuning in. But here we go. It is it's a new weekend. We've got April 5th coming up. There's new movies that are going to be released this weekend. We've got a few that are coming out in a wide release. I think, you know, there's some indie films. We're not going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the two that are going to be hitting theaters this week. One of them is people calling it maybe possibly the next John Wick, which is funny because they're like, is this movie going to pull a John Wick? Oh, you mean where it hits theater and nobody sees it and then it becomes like a cult classic on VOD and then it creates a franchise? I think they're forgetting how very little money the first John Wick movie made. But I'm talking about Dev Patel's Monkey Man, which is interesting because this movie, which you've noticed, there's been a couple of movies over the past year or so that are trying to get that sort of Bollywood, Telugu style of cinema crossing over into a United States market in an English language film. And it hasn't really quite gripped. What was the name of that movie with the two sisters? That came out, and they were both like ass kicking badasses.
Yeah. The one where the girl wanted to be a stunt woman. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but it didn't, like, either it never came out or it never came out here. It didn't get any traction.
It was out. It wasn't out long. It's on streaming right now. You can watch it. Because
I remember wanting to see it, and then it just like disappeared. But Monkey Man is written and directed and starring Dev Patel. And it looks like it could be pretty good. You know, it's taking a lot of, this is a Bollywood movie. This is a Bollywood action movie at its core, but it's in English language starring people you've seen before. And
White Society.
I think that this might be a really interesting crossover to get people into that genre of film that this guy's been trying to shove down your throat for the past couple of years.
Well, actually, this past weekend, there were several Indian movies that came out in the theater, and for the first time in like a year, there's two Indian movies on the domestic chart at the same time. Yeah, that was I had to go watch Godzilla X Kong, but there was like several Indian movies and a French movie about a cat, the life of a cat that
Le Meow.
It looked very interesting, and I had to. It was like a woman leaves Paris with her cat, and then it gets to go outside and roam around the countryside. It meets another cat friend. It's called like The Life of a Cat or A Cat's Life or something goofy. But there was like all of these choices for foreign films and stuff, and I was like, oh, I want to watch these. But I went and watched the dumbass MonsterVerse movie. So
same. But this week, yeah, like I said, Monkey Man coming out in theaters this weekend. You can check it out. It should be a good time. But also coming out in the, I guess, Omenverse, if this is a thing that's happening, it's The First Omen, which is about this American woman being sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church, encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate. So it's, I'm guessing this is about, it's an Omen prequel. If you're not familiar with the Omen, Damien, of course, is the Antichrist. He's getting born. He's an evil kid. You know, you maybe have seen it. You've probably not seen it. I think a lot of people now don't see movies anymore. They just, they're like, oh, that was before my time. And they just won't watch it. The Omen is a pretty creepy movie to this day. Stays creepy because that little kid is hella creepy.
Yeah.
And I guess this movie is about the beginning of that. It's, you know, the Antichrist. And the style of this movie is really interesting. They're making it look old. And I think that it could be interesting. I'm not a big fan of biblical horror because it creeps me out a little too much. you know, and as Vince said, he says he's also not a huge horror dude, but the original Omen rules. It's a very good movie. But biblical horror is particularly unsettling for me because there is enough people that are really into this, like believe it, and it freaks me the fuck out.
What about Constantine or End of Days?
I mean, that's fine.
End of Days.
He's a wizard, essentially. End of Days has, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, so that's cool.
Smoking his stogies with his like
shooting
beard.
The devil, like that's fine. But you know, movies like Rosemary's Baby and The Omen and House of the Devil and you know, even The Exorcist a little bit, like the original, and you know, those movies. Or what, there's Fallen is an extremely unsettling movie, and that's Denzel Washington. That's a great movie, but it's also really creepy. And what's the other, is it not The Seventh Seal, but or is it The Ninth Gate? Seventh Seal is the Ingmar Bergman. Ninth Gate is the one with Johnny Depp, I think. But it's, again, it's about like prophecy and biblical times and portals to hell. And
you know what movie freaks me the hell out, dude? The one with old Robin Williams, and like his whole family dies and his wife kills herself and he goes on a journey through hell to like pull her out of hell or whatever.
What, Dreams May Come?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie freaks me the hell out. So I understand what, dude, it's weird as hell though. Mm-hmm.
But those movies, they're,
I mean, it is hell.
So I cannot watch those like alone and in a dark and stormy night. I need a Thunder Buddy to get me through those movies because they are a little too creepy. So Jacob's Ladder. Billy over on Facebook mentioned that one. That's a pretty good one.
Don't watch What Dreams May Come. It's weird.
It's actually a pretty good movie. It wasn't Show Me the Money, wasn't he?
He plays the angel version. Spoiler, right. Mm-hmm. Of one of his sons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the form he takes once he becomes, like, he's in heaven or whatever. It's just such a bummer movie, and everything's weird and creepy, and he has to rescue his, like, suicided wife, or you can't say that now on the internet, unalived wife from hell and all this, and it's...
Why can't we say that?
TikTok.
But why, though? Because, well, I mean...
I saw there was a clip of Michael Jai White in a movie where he's in this convenience store and it's getting robbed, and they blurred the gun the guy was pointing at him. Like, you couldn't see the gun. China actually has a lot of laws in their cinema and stuff against what violence can be shown, because there was this Jackie Chan movie where he was an immigrant to Japan, and it couldn't be shown in China the same way it was shown in every other nation, mm-hmm. because it had blood and guns and stuff like that. And that's why, like, kung fu movies and stuff, you never see anyone, like, really bleeding or getting hurt real bad.
Yeah.
And that's why they have a lot of hand-to-hand combat movies, or people getting whacked with the sides of swords. Mm-hmm. Or, like, in movies like Three Kingdoms type stuff, everyone just goes, oh, and, like, falls off screen. Because Chinese movies, they don't let you show violence, really, like true violence or whatever. So I can't remember what the name of that movie was where Jackie Chan was the immigrant to Japan, but I remember reading about it at that time, because China got a whole different movie than everyone else.
Mm. Vince over on Twitch, he popped in and says it makes people who already think about self-harm of it think about it more and start to spiral. I guess my point is not necessarily about why we can't say these things or why censorship is a thing, but it's like replacing one word for another word. It's like
it still means the same thing.
It still means the same. You know what it is. Like, yeah, if you're like, we can't say the word pin anymore, but we're going to call these a NEP instead. And we just are just all now saying NEP, but we're not getting rid of pins. We're calling them NEPs. And what's the difference? It's just three letters that are identifying a thing. We're still talking about the thing. So in that respect, I think it just, I don't know, like language, meaning has power. Words are, I don't know. Whatever. Moving on.
The Foreigner. Yeah.
The first Omen. Those are the two movies that are coming out in theaters this weekend.
I think The Foreigner is the one where Jackie Chan's the immigrant to Ireland and Pierce Brosnan is a big butthole guy. There's a movie where Jackie Chan is he's a illegal immigrant to Japan is the one I'm thinking of. The Foreigner is the one with Pierce Brosnan. That one's really good. They're both good. The Foreigner's better because he's like, his daughter gets hurt and he like goes on his like vengeance crusade.
That's right. I remember the
and
movie.
And Pierce Brosnan's like a dude that was like clearly in the IRA, even though they don't mention that, because same thing, you can't talk about it. They can't mention IRA, but he was most definitely, you know, kind of a thing. Shinjuku incident. There it is. Thanks, man. Well, talking about Shinjuku.
Should we just dive into incidents?
Incidents.
I mean, yeah, like that. Those are the movies that were coming out this week. So now we need to review our movie. We need to review
the Kongzilla.
Kong and Zilla. Okay, so that's the movie we watched this week. That's the movie we caught in theaters. We did not see it together. We have not talked about this movie together yet. We have not discussed it. It's one of the things that we actually enjoy doing with you. Is no rehearsal, no editing, no whatever, just off the dome discussion of these movies. Of course, Godzilla and Kong. This goes back to 2019 when they started to create this monsterverse. You know, we've already had Godzilla movies, we've already had King Kong movies, but in 2019, Godzilla King of Monsters came out, and you know, followed by 2021's Godzilla versus Kong, which was a thing. And you got a thought there?
I was going to say, in the first movie, though, I think they had, like, the cave scrawlings where they showed little scribblings in the credits.
That was in King of the Monsters.
No, before King of the Monsters, because they, like, alluded. It doesn't matter. King of the Monsters is where it all really got set up. But
and then, you know, that brings us to Godzilla X. Well, we'll say it, Godzilla and Kong. The New Empire. So this movie, not bringing a whole lot of people back from the previous movie, except for Brian Tyree Henry, who is the conspiracy theory guy. Which again, like, let me just go ahead and start with how stupid this guy's character is, because he's a guy that is a struggling podcaster trying to get people to believe that the empty, what do they call it? The empty earth or the hollowed earth exists. And he's like, nobody believes me about these King Kongs and Godzillas.
But the portals are all over the world, 10 feet away from major cities.
And major cities are getting stomped on the regular by like giant monsters. Then it's all over the news.
Yeah, it's just become normal events that Titans are constantly in battle across the planet. Yeah.
So his character makes absolutely no sense.
So I was going to call it plot hole the movie.
God.
Okay. There's so many plot holes and things that don't make sense. And that is one of them. I didn't even think about him because some of the other more glaring plot holes. But he's the same that he was in the last movie.
Yes.
Which is that he's like, oh, this stuff's real. No one believes me. And it's like, well, there was a King Kong and Godzilla fought in this major Chinese city versus a Mecha Godzilla. And now they're regularly fighting across the planet in major cities, including Rome and Paris.
Godzilla's like taking naps in Rome and the Colosseum.
Yeah.
You know, and so of course, Rebecca Hall reprising her role as the mother to the kid from the Iwa tribe.
Now she's the mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's taking care of Iwi.
Iwi tribe, yeah. Excuse me. And this this movie, it for the first 40 minutes of this movie, it is impossibly insane to follow what is actually happening. It is this cross. It's Kong's doing Kong things. Zilla's doing Zilla things for no other reason other than it's like Kong doing Kong things and Zilla doing Zilla things. No crossover whatsoever. And you've got this team of like humans that are going to go down and like Kong gets a toothache. So they give him this big gangsta tooth and which establishes this lightning fast sort of parazoology veterinary mastery that this guy named Trapper can do in like 30 minutes can totally repair with a, like he just had one of these teeth ready to go just in case, like the power glove that they fit on him at the end of the movie as another completely stupid band-aid to fix a very, very horrible plot hole. And you know, it gets to the last like 30 minutes of this movie, and then it gives you it gets to the work and overtime part. Like, you know, the last 30 minutes of this movie were big monsters fighting each other, and you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah, I feel like, so this one, you know, one of our viewers here, Vindrasi, points out a big problem for most monster movies, I feel like, is the human element. Yeah, 100%. Like in the first of these Godzilla movies, it was all about the human couple being in different places at different times, and they use the male character to then view the like his lens and see Godzilla instead of just letting you watch Godzilla. This movie, they're like, how do we get to where this monster punches this monster? Or how do we get to where this monster kills this monster? And some of them, they're like, it sets up a big battle just for that, like, monster to get ganked. And they're just like, oh, well, I mean, clearly they're going to lose, dude. But it seems like the way they attempted to get to this is a total afterthought. So in this movie, they establish that not only is there Hollow Earth, but there's a subterranean level below that that makes zero sense. Because Hollow Earth, there's the two levels of it, and one is an upside-down world, and the other one is a right-side-up world, depending on where you are, because both of them are on the either half of, like, the Earth or whatever. And which, why isn't it, why aren't there ones on the side, too? Why isn't it cubed Hollow Earth? It's just the two sides. Whatever. But now there's a subterranean level below that that only has one level of gravity. And the whole thing is that there's,
I like
this,
how they're underground.
Underground.
But there's an underground
And it's even taller and makes no sense because it has a wide open sky. So the way they get to this is that Kong jumps down. He goes maybe like 1,000 feet down. And all of a sudden there's tens of thousands of feet of open sky below, like above him, and it makes no sense because you can't see the top of the Earth, and it's
because
lit.
Because you're forgetting the scale of these giant animals.
He's 300 feet tall. They say that out loud, and mm-hmm. he slides down comfortably, and he lands comfortably, and they already show that if these guys get pitched off of something that's 1,000 feet tall, they die because they throw several of the big apes off of cliffs of which they die from. And so if Kong slides down safely, it can't be that deep. And this is why it makes no sense. I drew you a map. Look at how.
Hang on. Let's go. Burp.
Okay.
We'll focus. I got it.
Try and get it to do it.
Let's see. Can we focus?
All right. So you have the surface Earth where Zilla roams. And then below that.
Yeah, let's go to the other cam. Here. You keep talking.
In the Hollow Earth on either of the upside downs is where Kong lives, and then he discovers that below him is this subterranean where the bad apes are, right? And then hidden behind a fake wall,
like a mucus
are
membrane,
the Iwi. Now the whole problem is that one of the bad apes comes up to the Kong level and kills humans, but then he goes back down here, and his whole thing is that he wants to escape here to get here so that he can get to the top. And he apparently has full access here that he forgets about 10 seconds after finding his way up here.
Which also takes no time to, like, travel to, because so, that one injured ape is like, ooh, I better go tell him, and, like, scampers off.
Just, it makes no sense. So Kong is in the Hollow Earth. He accidentally opens subterranean Earth. The subterranean Earth is where these hidden Iwi live, which are just a revamp of the fairy people from the Mothra movie,
yes,
which
yes.
was actually very cool. I liked that. I liked that throwback. But they,
Mothra was one of the best parts of the movie.
Oh, wow. Appears. Big spoiler. Yeah. So the bad ape comes up. The bad ape comes up, and he kills people and then immediately goes back down. And the whole plot of this movie is that he was defeated by the Zillas at some point and trapped in the lava, which he's very obviously not trapped in the lava. He has this open
or
world.
At all.
Yeah.
He's just down there.
He's just...
By choice.
He rules the entire subterranean realm.
And somehow managed to capture, like, another equally as powerful Zilla.
Inexplicably controls an ice
with a
dragon.
Stick.
With a shard. And the whole thing is, though, he climbs up, and the whole point of the movie is that he wants to get through one of these thousands of portals that lead to the surface of the earth.
That are everywhere.
That are everywhere, and he just never looks for one for hundreds of thousands of years, as established by this movie. He just chooses not to look for one, and then he climbs up to the level where the people are in Hollow Earth, sees all the portals, and goes, nah, goes back down, and then once he finds out that there's like a skin wall, he's like, that's where we need to go, and jump in that portal. It's like, bro, you had free access
the whole time.
And then when Kong gets his arm hurt,
the Kong arm,
which is why he gets a punchy arm, he somehow goes between the Hollow Earth and the subterranean of the Hollow Earth, no problem, even though he can barely walk. And the baby carries him.
The Diddy Kong is who I'm calling that little one. And it's not King Kong's baby. It's just this little butthole ape that tries to kill Kong and then they become homies because he's like this runt baby Kong. He's Diddy Kong.
He's the Godzuki, but for they but for King flipped Kong. It.
Yes, he is Godzuki. The frozen injured arm thing was quite possibly one of the stupidest things that I couldn't stop laughing about.
Yeah, they're like, how do we make Kong Robo?
Because they had to injure him somehow, right? And he gets frostbite in his arm, like this irreparable nerve damage and like skin damage. Like the vet, who apparently is a master of all things, you know, giant monster, who apparently I guess managed to figure it all out by not having any giant monsters to ever study firsthand, but you know, they're like, well, yeah, during the Mechagodzilla project, you know, it's a damn good thing that King Kong managed to happen to damage his left hand with frostbite, because we were working on a prototype power glove that latches onto left hands and fixes frostbite.
It was his right hand, but...
Or right hand, whatever. But it just happened to do the exact things that we needed.
That's another thing that's the plot hole, because in all the pictures, it shows a left hand, and then when it goes on, it's his right hand.
But then the installation process of this whole thing, which was kind of the tone of the movie, is he single-handedly goes over and goes, yeah, it must be kept right here. I'm going to fly this jet. Not show me how it's picked up, but it's attached to my jet that I
Why
somehow...
Why was that thing not destroyed by the Scar King?
Who knows? But then he goes over and, like, lands over King Kong. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to drop this thing. And, like, Jake, let me see your hand. It goes, punk. And it just, like, latches on. And then
these injections will heal him.
Will heal the frostbite. And then make him super.
Also, it's like if they have those, like, NFL blitz steroids that can instantly heal a broken anything, why are they not just, like...
juicing everything.
Have drones following Kong, and anytime he gets hurt, juiced.
Like stim-packing Marines in StarCraft.
Yeah. But the whole different levels and how they get to and from the different levels, and the whole reason that the Scar King wants to escape doesn't make any sense.
No.
Because he has the ability and then chooses not to when he could have. And the whole thing of Godzilla, they're like, he's gearing up for something big, but he had no idea.
He just felt it.
And then he wasn't good enough. The King of the Monsters was not good enough.
Without Kong's help.
Without Kong and people and Electro Dragons and the...
Because the Scar King was a bitch.
The turning of an ice dragon and a robotic arm from Kong and the help of Diddy Kong and friggin'...
Mothra.
Plot holes on plot holes.
And, you know, and then King Kong gets up there and is like, whoa, Godzilla, not in the face. And they wrestle for a minute. And then Mothra comes out and be like, Godzilla, you better stop fighting. Go over there and get this other bad guy. And then Godzilla's like, okay. And,
okay.
That's what Mothra did. She just flies up and goes, meh, 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 meh.
Well, now that we're just giving away this whole movie because it
What's
is
What's to give away? It's in the trailer. Every bit of it's in the trailer.
Mothra's not in the trailer.
Yeah, but they've been building up for Mothra forever.
Yeah, anyhow.
The Ewa's existence, you know Mothra's going to come out.
The round two of Kong vs. Zilla was unnecessary. There's a lot of unnecessary packed into this movie.
So it's Godzilla versus King Kong versus bad Godzilla versus bad King Kong. And then bad Godzilla
mistreated.
And then he rides bad Godzilla like it's a new pet. And then him and Diddy Kong like do an 80s style like you know, don't you forget about me at the end. And it's one of the most ridiculous things I've seen. Doesn't mean that the fighting wasn't fun, but this movie made absolutely no sense.
It makes zero sense, and everything they explain, they undo on their own. So things that are established 5 minutes before, undone with the logic of something established 5 minutes later, or vice versa, they don't care. Physics and logic and the movie lore, none of it matters.
So it's Beelzebub on Twitch asks, is this terrible or is it awesome? And here's a weird feeling that I have about this movie. The box office, which we're going to give you in just a moment, the box office on this blew Ghostbusters Frozen Empire out of the water this week. In its opening weekend, it has made more than Ghostbusters had in its two-week run, right? Comparatively speaking, I thought Ghostbusters was a way better movie than Godzilla vs. Kong. Godzilla plus Kong, Godzilla and Kong, homie time, like Bad Boys for Godzilla edition, whatever you want to call this movie. It's not a very good movie. It is really just giving the people what they wanted. It's Godzilla gets, or King Kong gets a robot arm and an axe, and Godzilla turns pink and shoots more lasers, and Mothra shows up, and like that's what we've all wanted.
They're like, you want a monster movie? Here's a monster movie with as little amount of humans as we can force into this with what we've set up already. It is a Kong heavy movie. Godzilla shows up to be like the weapon when Godzilla needs to. Get every time Godzilla's on screen, you get atomic breath. Every single time.
McLean on YouTube says, why try to make sense of a monster beat 'em up? The whole point is to watch the monsters fight. If the monsters aren't fighting, it isn't good.
Yeah, so fair. But the thing is, as illustrated by this map I tried to show you, is that there's no sense at all to it.
Here's something that we've said a million times on the show. It's why Godzilla Minus One absolutely rules compared to this movie or compared to any movie. It's when you make a movie, you need to exist within the rules of the universe you create, right? If you create a universe that these levels of worlds live in, make that make sense, you know, in the world. Like, I'm already buying the fact that there is a hollowed earth. Okay, and if shit happens in Hollowed Earth, got it. But if you start messing with the own rules that you kind of already set, it's like you're asking me to believe something that wouldn't exist in my world, but now you're trying to make me believe something that wouldn't even exist in the world that you just told me to believe in?
Yeah, because the whole thing with the main bad guy is they go, he wants to escape his lava den so that he can take over Earth. And he did escape his lava den, and he had access to the portals, and then 3 hours later, he's sitting at home like he didn't know that any of that existed. So they give him full access to escape his means, and they go, well, he's trapped down here for all eternity because of Godzilla. It's like, what do you mean? He escaped 4 hours ago.
Like, and it's like Godzilla didn't even know about him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, who? But anyway, that's the point. That's where, you know, when people try to say, like, oh, it's just a popcorn movie, it's not supposed to make sense. It's like, just there's like a, Dina said,
a level of it.
There's a difference between a suspicion of disbelief and sloppy storytelling. Thanks for that comment on Twitch, Dina. And that's where we take beef with some of that stuff. It's like, you can make me believe a lot of things in a movie. Like, you know, I can watch Star Trek and believe in warp technology and believe in aliens that worship money and nudity or whatever. And, you know, I can believe all that stuff because you've created these boundaries and you've created these parameters of which they exist in those worlds. This doesn't. And that's where it gets annoying, and that's where it gets laughable when Kong gets a a robot beat 'em up arm.
Yeah, if they would have left out the whole subterranean below Hollow Earth or above Hollow Earth, who knows which direction, type thing. Because if it's now that it's on one side, there's probably another side that has the same thing.
Another subterranean underside.
Yeah, yeah.
Bottom level.
It's like someone.
And how do you get to that? Like, yeah. Because if you're like in Antarctica coming up to Hollowed Earth this way, would you, instead of hitting Hollowed Earth, would you hit Evil Monkey Man's lair before hitting Hollowed Earth? Like, how does, like, where does that one stop and where does, okay.
Never yeah, mind. I mean, they very clearly did not care when they were setting this up. And in the editing room, no one caught that. Every single thing was a plot hole, or they just didn't care again.
They didn't care.
So, I mean, it just when you set up rules and then they've all already been broken, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway.
The monster punching was fine.
The monster punching was fine.
Those parts of the movie are fine.
And also, that metal alloy is... how did a piece of metal, which is conductive, mind you, all metal is somehow conductive, or somewhat conductive... protect him from the frostbite of which caused him to have the arm replacement in the first. He sat there and blocked like
for 30 minutes
for an like yeah. You know, and it froze. He's like, nah, but the metal part. And I was like, you ever put your tongue on an ice pole, man? I learned that in Christmas Story.
Well, and that whole robot arm just gets destroyed in that fight, but he just continues to wear it. It's all
with no damage. Anyway, okay. There we go. That's
it's,
it.
So, as far as is it terrible or is it awesome? It's a movie. It's there.
Honestly, and I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth. Go see Ghostbusters instead. I think it's a better movie.
Yeah, but I feel like the reason Ghostbusters hasn't done well is because everyone that wanted to watch it went and saw it last week, like you did.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the train has expired on that one. But anyway, let's get into that box office roundup. It's our last segment of the show. We're going to tell you what made money this week. Jake's going to give you the top 10. Well, let's do the top 11 movies.
Yes, I wanted to talk about this one.
Because number 11 movie is only playing in 900 theaters nationwide. It is playing here.
Yes, that was another one of the ones I had to fight myself to not go watch.
To go see Monster Punching.
Yep.
But we're going to give you mostly domestic numbers because that's how the studios measure all of this. We'll give you some worldwide numbers on some of the big ones. But, Jake, go ahead and take it away.
Number 11, opening at the number 11 spot, In the Land of Saints and Sinners, new Liam Neeson movie. $1 million brought in by that one. And then at number 10, dropping from the 7th spot, Imaginary. 1.4 brought in this past week for it, bringing its four-week total up to 26.2. Opening at number 9, Crew, which is one of the Indian movies.
Yep.
$1.5 million estimated brought in by that one. And just above it, the other Indian movie, the ones I was talking about. First time there's been two on the domestic chart here.
And only playing in about 450 to 490 theaters each.
So. I know that we have Tilo Square here, which is the movie at number 8. It brought in $1.87 million. I don't know if we have Crew, but we did have a different Indian movie here.
And these are really good theater averages, honestly. Like, if you were to scale this up per theater average, they would be falling in the number 2 and 3 spot, which is kind of wild if you think about that.
Yeah. But, real quick, Beelzebubba Ding Dong said they want to play Primal Rage. Primal Rage has a better story than Zilla X Kong.
Honestly.
Someone watched Meg 2 and then rewrote their Godzilla vs. King Kong movie and did a bad job of it. And then coming in at number 7, Late Night with the Devil. In its second week out, that's an independent film channel movie, IFC Films. $2.1 million brought in by it. It's actually gained 400 theaters despite dropping down in the list. But $6.25 million brought in by it so far. I've heard nothing but good things about it from the kind of people that like to go watch those types of movies. And then
it's on my list of things I want to see. Yeah. I've heard good things.
Apparently, David Dasmalchian or whatever, he does pretty good. People like the movie. I'm not a creepy movie person, but you are, so there you go. But the whole Christian horror thing, it's a devil deal. So.
I know.
And then at number 6, Arthur the King, in its third week out, $2.5 million brought it up to 19.1. That one I still need to go see because I know my mom wants to watch it with me. It doesn't look bad based on a true story. And then at number 5, Immaculate, $3.25 brought in by it, $11.11 million in its second week out. And then Kung Fu Panda 4 At number four, 10.3 million. Its domestic take is up to 152, with its worldwide just shy of $350 million. I would have never guessed that Kung Fu Panda 4 would still be going that strong. Because usually animated movies, the sequels are straight to
unless
DVD.
Unless it's Despicable Me, Minions.
Or Toy Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at number three, dropping from the number two spot, Dune Part 2. 11.3 brought in by that one, 252.6 in the U.S., $627 million across the globe.
Yes!
Movies can still make it out there. We'll see if we get that Dune 3.
I think at this point, I mean, it's getting close to the billion-dollar club. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. The entire Ghostbusters franchise just now entered the billion-dollar club.
Between
all of them. And Dune 2 is about to do it with the one of them. So.
Yeah. And then at number two, dropping from the top spot, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire brought in only $15.5 million. That is a 65% drop in its second week, even though it's in more theaters than every other movie on the list.
By a long shot.
Yeah, 4,400 theaters nearly. 73.25 million brought in by it in 2 weeks, barely cresting 100 million across the world. I really think Ghostbusters had irreparable damage done by the reboot. The failings of the last movie. And then opening at the number one spot, Godzilla, X-Kong, New Empire, $80 million in the U.S. Another 100-some-odd across the globe, bringing it up to 195.
Big so monsters 200 million dollars right out of your wallet.
Yeah, 200 million opening weekend, not so bad.
Not so bad at all. Well, there you have it, folks. That is your box office roundup for the weekend of March 29th through 31st, wrapping up March on this lovely April Fool's evening. We didn't have any April Fool's jokes for you because we don't want to do that stuff to anybody. So we made it through another show. We will be back next week talking to you about some more movies. I'm going to hopefully see if I can twist this guy's arm into watching some Shogun. You need to get him into this. But yeah, if you want to join our Discord channel, you can. It's fun. You can talk to all of our other viewers and stuff right there throughout the week. It's free. We don't do any of those subscriber-only Discords or anything. You can jump right in there. And our moderator, Vince, is going to be doing a movie night like he always does. There are three movies up for grabs this week, and I'm not quite sure. He does a random number generator, and it's all like under 90-minute movies, which is like the perfect runtime. You can jump in on that and get a little bit more Movie Monday action right there on our Discord. So don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you prefer, Facebook, Twitch, or YouTube. We like Twitch. And if you don't even want to look at our faces or even understand what's going on in the chat, you can download the audio version of this podcast wherever it is you download podcasts. You just search for the Drive-In Speaker Box Podcast, and you can find it. So, yeah, there you go. Hey, shout-outs to Merle over there, Beelzebub, everybody that's been tuning in. Mom just said hi on Facebook, so hey, Mom. And we will be back next week. As always, I am Bo, the Boom Operator.
I'm the Grip.
And we'll see you then.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.